Which beginning? In the beginning was the Logos, was the secret. My guess is that when we read that, we probably think, okay, so the first thing that was ever said, if we're thinking somewhat superficially or without having enough of a sense, because it's not easy to understand, when we hear in the beginning was the Word, we could very easily think, okay, way back when, the first thing that was ever said, in the beginning was the Word. Are we speaking when we read in the beginning in reference to time? Are we thinking of, is John thinking of, the beginning of time? In the beginning of time was the Word. So, way back when, there was the Word. In other words, the Word was hanging around at the time of creation. He was just watching and just having a grand old time. He was there. In the beginning was the Word. Or at the threshold of history, there stood the Word. Is that what John is saying? I don't think so. So we're departing, I think, here from what we might spontaneously think. The Greek original, and then the Latin translation of that Greek text suggests otherwise. Beginning is not a reference to time, as we might think. So it's a reference to what? In the beginning, for me, is always time. When you read stories to children, in the beginning was the fox and the tree. The Greek suggests otherwise. In the source, in the one who is the source, is the secret. In other words, in the first person is the second person, like a secret. So it's not a description about what happened way back when. It is a glimpse into the mystery of God. You see the difference. It's so much more. In the first person, who is the source of all things. Of course, in perfect oneness with the second and the third. In the first person is the second person, like a secret. And he shares that secret. In the source was, is, because the Greek includes both notions, the Logos. In the source is the secret. And we continue to read in that first verse, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Okay, so it doesn't get any simpler as you read the prologue, you may have noticed. So it just gets deeper and more mysterious. I'm sure it obliged much prayer and reflection for the early church. With God and was God. At first you might want, it would be tempting to say, okay, God, make up your mind, either with God or was God, but it has to be one or the other. No, it's both. Suggesting distinction and identity. Distinct and perfectly one. Two and one, somehow. The Word was with God, and the Word actually was God. Go figure. The mystery of God. There is this, again, mysterious interior fruitfulness in God, which in no way affects the oneness of God. It's what you call a mystery. So I'm not really sure why I'm up here trying to explain it, because it's a mystery. And you don't want to go there. So there are, of course, here revealed two. The third person will be revealed later in the Gospel of John. But there are three persons within the perfect oneness of God. Oneness of being, oneness of life, oneness of love, and oneness of light. I will repeat that, because you may want to put it on your fridge when you get home. Oneness of being, oneness of life, oneness of love, and oneness of light. So, there is a distinction of persons, which does not mean separation, which is why don't try to imagine. Because when you imagine, you're always imagining something related to the physical world. So when you imagine three, you imagine three separate things, always, inevitably. So if you try to imagine God, you're going to imagine three gods. All you need to do is look at the artwork. Now you have God the Father, who of course has to be older than God the Son, so he has the big, you know, white beard. Then below him is the Son, whose beard isn't gray yet. And then you have this bird.